And the Academy Award for the Best Montreal Canadiens Podcast goes to...
The Curfew Boys. Oh. I was waiting for you to answer.
Well, I don't have my envelope thingy. I thought one of you guys was just going to fucking let me hang there. But yes, the Curfew Boys, back here with a brand new episode. Sammy, Joey, and Chris, gentlemen.
Hey now.
How y'all doing?
Good. I just watched with a big sigh watching that game. But yeah, we're good. I'm good.
Oh, but when you say that game, we're going to get into which game? Because there's two games we're really going to talk
the
about.
The one we played tonight. You won yesterday. I didn't watch because I was out. It was beautiful. Yeah.
We're going to get to there. Real quick, did any of you guys watch the Academy Awards?
No, not this year. I did watch the movie that won basically everything. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Yeah. You have to be really, I guess you could say, mindful to understand it. You got to have an open mind to it, for sure.
How much shrooms
do you have to be on?
Yeah. Or
I wasn't on any, but I kind of wish I were. Yeah.
Is smoking a joint required?
it's a good mix to have it in. Yeah, the Italian saying, the spaghetti and meatballs. It's kind of a perfect match.
Okay, very interesting, because the Academy Awards, they are what they are, but I find every now and then, like when there's a movie that wins that I've never heard about, it actually gets me curious to watch it. So when Parasite won Best Picture, I forgot which edition, I ended up watching it, and it was such a great movie, and you could see why. So this Everything Everywhere All at Once, it's got my curiosity now.
You never heard of it before the Oscars?
I remember seeing bits and pieces of it, but my God, I can't believe the actor for Best Supporting Actor role is Short Round from Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. So so our buddy Alex, he texted me that, and I, like, my brain just went literally, I couldn't believe that Short Round won Academy Award. And when Harrison Ford announced it, it's like, you know, the when they got on stage, they hugged it out, like he was so happy about Harrison, but I can't pronounce his name. I'm so sorry. I kept forgetting his name. But the act that plays Short, like, it was great. That was pretty cool. Nobody got bitch slapped, so that's good.
That's right.
Nobody got bitch slapped. There was no incidents. You knew Jimmy Kimmel was gonna poke fun at it, though. That's you knew that was coming, though.
Oh, for sure.
So, anyways, before we get this started, Joey, I found out an interesting fact about you. Your stardom in the podcast world has gone up a notch. I'm going to restart that. Your podcast stardom has gone up a notch.
Yes, it has, Sam. I'm quite surprised. You're not really a footy fan yourself, but you listen in. But no, I've been I joined a podcast called La Magicast, and a Magicast, well, the cast part is for the podcast, and the Magica is just a theme because we're based off of my team I love, which is AS Roma. So La Magica is one of the sayings that you call the team. So it's an AS Roma podcast. Obviously, it covers another team that I love. A little more emotional about it right now than Montreal because they have something they're competing for.
Okay.
But yeah, and we cover a bit of the rest of Serie A and a little bit outside if anything crazy happens, but it's mostly Serie A, and obviously it's Roma based. So it was actually quite strange to do content, which was really ingenious by them during the World Cup, because obviously there were no games being played at club level. Right. They were looking to find international Roma fans around the world just to have like a one podcast interview, just to, you know, just to see how they became a Roma fan, who are their favorite players.
They saw that you were a crazy fan, so like, we got to keep this motherfucker around.
I was interested in just talking about Roma. I love talking about them, like I do the Habs, and I already done a podcast, so I thought it was going to be a one-off. I loved listening to them. The guy actually really liked the host of it, really liked how, I don't know, how I guess I connected on the podcast and, you know, maybe
how you know your stuff,
Yeah. Knowing the stuff and just speaking, I said, I host my own. And so he was quite happy. And I think he got a little stuck because the regulars that actually do it have been very busy. One's like a doctor and the one just busy. Yeah.
Forget it, Joel. What the fuck are you?
I don't know. He's just, the two other guys that do it with him has just been very busy. They do a lot of episodes. They have like 190, but obviously there's less soccer games. So, you know, you tend to do less podcasts than hockey. And they've been around for definitely a few years. And they just liked how it was. And he kept asking me, you know, he was kind of short staff. And I've been on ever since January. And yeah, I joined our own podcast. I get very angry and emotional too, as well as there.
Okay.
There, I want my team to actually to win, so it's a bit of a difference rather than here for now. But
yeah.
But
that's great. Nice. Oh, that's great, man. Good for you. So, yeah, La Magicast. Where can we? Where can, if we have any AS Roma fans listening, where can they find this podcast?
So La Magicast is bigger on Twitter. They don't really have an Instagram, so Twitter has La Magicast, and any of your podcast platform. So Apple, Spotify, they have things. Obviously it's Europe based. So Podbean, Juning, any of those. So it's called La Magicast. No YouTube. We're just strictly YouTube. Audio.
Okay.
So if you want to hear my beautiful voice, stream at another sport.
There you go. At another sport.
You're more than welcome.
So all you're missing is the LA Rams for the NFL podcast, and then you're all set.
Yeah, that's all I'm missing is another shit team to start. Now they're spiraling the other way, right? They're going to rebuild. Boy. So it's another
another rebuilding team. You can't handle two of them.
No, I can't. No, them I actually can. They did their thing. They won. They had a 5-year window. They won a Super Bowl and they made a final. So I can't complain about them. Unlike the Habs who have been rebuilding and retooling from.
Oh my God. So
that's our perfect segue.
let's get right into it. Boys, so I was at the Bell Center Monday night against the Colorado Avalanche. And it was just one of those games where I really had to go see. I had to be in the building to watch players like Nathan MacKinnon. I had to go see Cale Makar. It just so happened that Arturi Lehkonen made his return. We'll get to him later. But, you know, people are asking me, like, you know, the Canadians are going to lose, right? So I was like, yeah, I'm expecting it. It's like, I'm there to see the Habs, yeah. But, like, people need to know I'm a big hockey fan, too. I love the Colorado Avalanche as a team. They're the reigning Stanley Cup champions. Like, I have to go see them. Jesus Christ, I didn't think it would be. I thought the Canadians would put up some kind of fight. I didn't think it would be an 8-4 final fight. Holy shit, guys. You can tell the Canadians half their forwards are either the Laval Canadiens or the Montreal Rockets. You could tell they're playing against a reigning Stanley Cup champion team, a fucking well put together team. Just full of dynamic, dynamite, elite, talented players like Nathan MacKinnon, guys. Like, if you think he's great on TV, holy fuck. He's something to watch live. Cale Makar, the guy he was probably idling at 75, 80%, and he still outperformed everybody. It was fucking nuts.
Remember Colorado... were mad they didn't win the draft. They came fourth that year, and lo and behold, they got the best player.
Well, you think Philly's not happy about that?
Definitely.
You think who was it? Was the Dallas draft Miro Heiskanen third overall? Was it that same draft? I think because it was Nico Hischier. It was
which was I think
Patrick.
Nolan Patrick, yeah.
Yeah, and then it was Miro Heiskanen, and then it was Cale Makar, and then it's Elias Pettersson. But I mean, Heiskanen is actually still a really good
player. I love him.
He's still great for sure. He's not Cale Makar, but
he's great. Yeah.
I didn't watch the game. I watched some of the highlights, and if there's one thing I think Marty is going to need to do in the future to get this, it's hard to judge, but I'm talking from a statistical standpoint. A lot of the forwards on Montreal I mean, defense, that's your primary role is to play defense. A lot of the forwards statistically as a defender, as a defenseman, I'm saying defending as a forward, has actually gone down number-wise when Marty is taking over. I know Ducharme plays a little more conservative. I get it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying for Marty to grow as a coach, I think he's going to need to learn how to, well, when he has the right team as well, like they need to stop giving up so many goals. It's like, it's incredible. I think his philosophy is go out there and play, but they're kind of losing their way in like their defensive duties. Caulfield and Suzuki, I don't know if you saw their defensive numbers. They have been extremely down.
Yeah, Suzuki, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sure. And Caulfield, sure. I mean, the guy, you know, he's there to score you a lot, but Suzuki's a two-way center. So when the team gets better, I'd like to see if Marty can handle, you know, having the games where he can grind out 2-1, 3-2 wins, keep it, you know, keep them, other teams from not scoring. But right now, like when we play these top end teams, it's, you know, and our goalie is not on that night. Well, I'm not saying just being average. I'm just saying,
it was not Jake Allen's fire.
When our goalies are not on fire, and that's the difference of being average. When they're not on fire, it just becomes a shit show, really. And that's what I saw from the highlights, is they couldn't keep the puck out of net. I was glad Lekkonen scored. So good for him before he got injured twice, right?
In hell. But like you knew it was coming though, right?
Of course. Every ex-Montrealer scores on us. I always say every ex-Montrealer does well against us, and every Quebec goaltender puts on a show against Montreal.
Even Lars Eller put up an assist.
There you go.
You forget Lars Eller's is with the Colorado Avalanche.
That's right. I always associate him with Washington, but yeah,
he's absolutely. Yeah,
Lars Eller should have even had a goal yesterday. The ref hadn't whistled quickly.
Yeah,
he potted a goal like it was a clear goal.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
And again, it's just the way Colorado circulates the puck in the offensive zone. Like it was unreal. The Canadians had trouble doing man-to-man coverage in there, and they were trying to do that instead of doing these more zone coverage. They're trying to do man-to-man coverage. It was impossible, and that's why they were making these tic-tac-toe plays that, like, you could say Allen had he did have a rough night. Some on the team might argue that they hung him out to dry. Sure. I think it's a mix of both, but you could tell, like, just this team, this is just how skilled they are. Just the amount of, when you have a guy like Cale Makar being the defenseman he is, but then you add in a Bowen Byram, and even Samuel Girard fucking impressed me a lot.
He's good. Very underrated. Very, very,
very underrated. Man, he's got quick feet, quick hands. He can move the kid. The guy, what do I call him? The kid. The guy can move the puck. Fuck. But on the flip side of that, the Canadians still scored 4 goals.
Yeah, lately they can score, they just can't defend. Like, we're going to talk about both games, unless it's New Jersey. New Jersey, besides the not last game they played on the Saturday, the game before they won, they scored a lot. But besides like games like New Jersey, Montreal can score with nothing, it seems like, right now. But the thing is, I think they're giving up a lot of defensive structure to score these goals. That's where I think it's coming from. That's what I see anyways. I could be wrong, but this is really what I see.
Yeah.
You think about the hack job. It's not the hack job on Marty's behalf, but it's just because of all the injuries. The lineup is constantly changing. We talked about the disorganization. I think a lot of these guys are not playing with one another on a regular basis. You talk about, again, going back to the disorganization in their own zone, that sixth goal was humiliating. Like, literally, the guy just, I forget who it was, who just pulled the puck and tucked it in. Like,
I think it was Rantanen. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was just like, there were some pretty, it was pretty rough to see. But at the same time, you know, everybody scoring, the run and gun offense, just go out and have fun type of offense. I'm loving the fact that Gurianov is scoring more and more.
Hey man, he doubled the amount of goals from the entire season. He's doubled his amount of goals in just 9 games with the Canadiens, including tonight against the Pittsburgh Penguins, which we're going to get to later. He had 2 goals in 40-something games. Now he's got 4 in 9.
But he has 3 in his last 3.
Yeah, 3 in his last 3. He's got with the Canadians, he's got four or five. He has five points in 9 games. Not too shabby.
No, not at all.
Shabby. I think he's proof that he might just have needed a change of scenery, a change of coach.
Well, it's funny because Dadanov was reported saying, look, I didn't get the respect I deserved from Marty. And he's really? Saying Pete DeBoer is giving it to him. And then the other way around, vice versa. So I think it was just two miserable Russians, one in Dallas, one in Montreal. They got on a plane. They exchanged places and they're all happy.
And it's a win-win for both teams. They get an experienced guy to help them for the playoffs while we get someone younger that might help us in the future. And they're both actually doing well in their team. So it's really a win-win for both teams.
Yeah, absolutely. And, man, just that one play, though, of Nathan MacKinnon just rushing down the middle, just decided to fucking turn on the Jets. Yeah, poor Montembeau. Like, there's nothing you could do against a guy like Nathan MacKinnon. But, hey, man. We got, I got to see Josh Anderson score his 20th goal. He put up which was also his 200th career point. I got to see Savard get an assist, also put up his 200th point. Joey, I see you fucking just sighing over there.
Not my type, man. Just not my type of guy, not my type of player. I always have one for every team, Sam, so don't worry. It's not just this podcast. Both podcasts I do, there's a player I hate. So, and I have one for my other teams as well. So
it's not for just your soccer team. Yeah. Arturi Lehkonen got a very nice tribute video. It was pretty cool to see. I will be the first to go out and say how many times I would quote unquote rip on the guy for not being able to score.
Koivu's never wrong, my friend. I'll tell you that from now. Koivu's never wrong.
What did Koivu say about him? I don't remember this.
Koivu said he would be, I mean, he said it with Montreal, but it took a team that was skilled. He said he'd be a second liner, and I think he can easily be one on Colorado.
100%. He proved it in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
He'd be a top six forward.
Nah, and because of that, now he's got his fucking name fucking chiseled in the Stanley Cup. But I always admired Lehkonen's work ethic. I always admired his effort, his defensive game. But like, she's like, yeah, just when you would see him shoot with the Canadians, it's like he'd be like Plekanec's number two. Just aim for the fucking logo. Goes to Colorado. Does it help that he's playing with guys like MacKinnon, Rantanen, Makar, and Landeskog? Fuck yeah, it does. Jeez.
Guys who could play offense.
Good for him, man. Like I am happy for him. The fan base is happy for him. He got a nice standing ovation immediately after, scores a goal on the power play. I don't think any players had a tribute video for them, and then a few seconds later score a goal. He got a standing ovation. The crowd was cheering on his goal.
I'm happy they were.
Yeah,
he scored the goddamn biggest goal for the Montreal Canadiens in the past 25 years. The guy deserves, you know, he sent a freaking province on a hole and scattered out fans flying out of their seats to celebrate a goal. Like he honestly, for the joy that he brought us 2 summers ago, seriously, thank you, Lehkonen. You know, I'm happy to see the guy actually pan out and playing as he is. I don't know if you guys saw the stats. He was at like a .34 or something like that, points per game here in Montreal. He's in fucking Colorado, and he's putting up .73 or something like that, points per game.
And he finally hit 20 goals.
Yeah, well, did he not hit 20 goals in Montreal? It was 19.
He hit 17.
17 is rookie year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, good for him. I hope out west he has another solid run with the Avalanche.
They're gonna need him. They're definitely gonna need him.
Sam, I don't want to forget this point you mentioned about Lehkonen not finishing here. I get it. Like, he did miss some chances. But you gotta remember. What?
Pun intended? He's not finishing here. Yeah.
He couldn't score here. I think the chances were a lot fewer than obviously Colorado. And look where his coaches were here. His coaches, when you think of who his coaches were, you think, oh, that's a defensive coach. Julien, oh, that's a defensive coach. What's his name?
Ducharme.
I mean, I was drawing a blank. I don't even remember. You know what?
And Michel Therrien, we're a grinding team.
Yeah, exactly. So look at it then and look at it now.
No, you're totally right. And I agree with that too. And what a tough blow. Yeah, but wait.
No, there's something that Sammy's saying. Like, I think somebody just touched, like, just give him a pat on the shoulder and they said, you can shoot for something other than the logo or other than 5 feet to the wide of the net. Like, I think somebody just told him that he had the permission to actually shoot towards the open spaces inside of the net. That's what seems to be the difference.
He got permission from McKinnon as long as he eats fucking quinoa pasta and don't touch fucking and don't drink soft drinks. I think he's good. He'll be good to go.
It's probably the coach was telling him try to, you know, our coach is saying don't go top corner because if you miss it's going to be a rebound the other way. Just shoot to his chest. The guy can freeze the puck, the goalie, and at least, you know, they don't have a chance coming the other way. Just
shoot on the chest. Gallagher's going to pick up the rebound because that's where 85% of our goals are coming from.
It's something stupid, I'm sure.
But it wasn't even, I have to say, we're talking about the logo, but Lekkonen had a few memorable misses where the goalie's like out of the net and he's just got to tuck it in and he's got the post. He shoots it wide. And Chris, what was his reaction every time?
He would always look to the sky. I always remember he always looked to the sky.
But I think we also got a glimpse of his, I don't know if the word clutchiness exists.
Clutchiness?
Scratch that. We got a glimpse of how clutch he can be when he scored the game winner against Pittsburgh in those bubble playoffs. He was putting up goals to win key games. So
He missed open nets in a regular season game, but he scored the biggest game of his life.
He scored the big goals when they counted. Look, because of him, we didn't have to draft Alexis Lafreniere or get a chance to draft him. Because of him, we went to a Stanley Cup Finals. Because of him, Colorado won the fucking Stanley Cup.
Again, back-to-back years that he scores the goal to get his team to the Finals. Back-to-back years.
Unfucking real, man.
He may be back. He may be a return. For Colorado in the West. West is wide open.
Yeah. Western Conference is
back-to-back Stanley Cup champion.
They're gonna have to go through either the Bruins or
Toronto are not gonna make the finals. I don't want to hear it.
All right, good. I like that.
Good, I like that too.
I like that a lot. All right. I want to fast forward to the Montreal Canadiens versus the Pittsburgh Penguins victory tonight. Tuesday night's final score of 6-4. A game that looked like it was going to be another fucking disastrous night. Not even a minute in, Pittsburgh scores. 2-3 minutes later, Malkin with a rocket of a shot. 2-0. And Marty was like, no, listen, you motherfuckers. This ain't happening twice in 24 hours. Fucking get your shit together and get to work. And next thing you know, the Canadiens are up 4-2 at the end of the first period. I did not expect this game at all, especially against Pittsburgh, who are fighting for like those final wildcard spots.
Tristan Jarry also shat the bed and a half tonight. he was atrocious.
He really was. And at one point, I was like, the Curfew Boys tweeted, fuck it. Remove the goalies. Let's just play 6-on-6 for the rest of the game. He was awful. He couldn't stop a beach ball.
It's one of the games. First of all, I don't think I should stop watching. I didn't watch the last two games, like I mentioned before tonight, and they lost beautifully. I think I'm not going to watch any more game. These are the games that frustrate me so much because I'm sorry, Montreal did not play well and Pittsburgh dominated. It was again Molton Beau saving the day on one end and their fucking goalie shitting the bed the other end. I'm glad for Molton Beau, but you know where I stand with the tank.
Yeah.
We got the win. This we've had so many other games where Montreal's played well and we did not get to win. And this game, they don't. They, to me, they got dominated. Maybe dominated.
The third period, they got dominated.
Yeah, I'm not going to say completely dominated, but they did get outplayed.
Yeah.
And, oh, man, it's just this should have been a loss. But, wow, yeah,
it's Tristan Jarry
shat the bed. Montembeau played great. We scored literally every time we came down. It was dangerous, and we didn't come down much. But
no, I know. It's
and out of all people, Anthony Richault, just, yeah, let me just score the winner.
He's like, yeah, I'm going to snipe this. Jesse Ilonen, like, yeah, it's my turn to play in the NHL. He fucking snipes. Beautiful goal. Beautiful goal.
It definitely was. It was a really nice goal. But he scored. Ren Pivlik had a nice pass to Hoffman. Yeah. Edmondson, whatever. I just think Jarry just wasn't there to play.
Well, fuck. I think it was 4 goals on like 6 shots in the first period. It was disgusting. But I have to say, just noticing a trend, kind of like Canadians had a lot of difficulty with San Jose. I feel as though it's been several years, especially since Halak. And I'm going to give a lot of credit to Halak for that particular series. But since Montreal beat Pittsburgh, that year, I find that Montreal tends to have Pittsburgh's number a little bit more often. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's like
Chris, like actually, a fact about that, I think it's the first time they said on RDS since, what was it, 05, 06, 06, 07, that I think Montreal won the season series with Pittsburgh. Three games out of 4 this year. It's been first time in...
They've had Pittsburgh's number this year, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
in about 15 to 17 years, it's the first time Montreal beat Pittsburgh in the season series that they played. They've actually won three games. Yeah, they won 3 out of 4 against Pittsburgh this year, which is like, it doesn't make sense. But
madness.
Yeah, they did it. I didn't expect the win tonight, and I don't think Montreal didn't play well enough to win. Just like I said, one goalie was hot, one goalie was cold. The frustration I keep saying about it is because I'm so used to Montreal always getting outplayed and Price saving the day. So I want these kind of wins to like be more like we're the dominant team.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm hoping with these prospects and everything that we're trying to rebuild here.
It's coming, but yeah, absolutely. But you could tell too, like they were, at least for the first two periods, they were moving the puck a lot better.
Yeah,
they were using that play that I find a lot of teams are using lately. It's like, it's the 3-man low in the zone, or like 3-man low on the blue line, and there's 2 guys that are circulating around the net, like close to the net area. There's always like 2 defensemen, and then there's another forward that's down low with them to help them circulate the puck. And then at that point, they try to find an open lane and get a shot where if there's a rebound, there's another two players that are kind of crashing the net.
You're right. I'm glad you brought that up. It creates the most space, but it's also the most dangerous spot on the ice, because if you turn over that puck,
you're alone. You're fucked. Yeah.
Yeah. You're screwed. But it creates the most space because most people don't put as much pressure there because they don't think that people are going to sit right in the middle of the blue line on the ice. But yeah, you're right. And they work that part well. Third period, Montembeau just said, no, I'm going to make sure we win this game.
He's like, I got this, boys.
Important note for the Tankers before we move on. We passed Philly and Arizona. No bueno. So
just by 1 point, though. Just by 1 point. Yeah, but I get
Philly
it.
Lost again tonight. They're not good.
No, I know. But like the Canadians still have a tough schedule. You're going to have to expect them to win at least 1 or 2 of the next 15 games and less.
Sam, if Connor Bedard does not come to Montreal, we don't get the best odds for him. I might just think about it right now. We could probably get
future potentially Hobie Baker Award Adam Fantilli, man. I don't want
sloppy seconds.
He's not a slop. Come on.
I'm joking. I just want to get the best of the best. That's all.
I agree with you. We all do, but I think. And I think the fan base, once again, they're torn between exactly how you want things to go, Joey, and yet they want to see signs that things are getting better.
I would agree to that, Sam. Before you go on, hold on. I would agree to that if their actual team was there, but it's like it's a bunch of AHLers right now, so they're not going to be NHL players.
Okay, good point. But I think the point also in that is, if Marty could coach half a fucking minor league lineup and perform against teams, what do you think he's going to do with actual NHLers?
Yeah, but he's shown that already. So give up the rest of the season. Yeah, he's shown it.
Okay. You know what, Joe? Adri said this. I'm convinced that he's right. If all our players were not injured this year, we might be fighting for a wild card spot.
I'm saying maybe next year, but no, this year I still think we would have been out by a little bit. He had a lot of the players at the beginning, and we were still out by a good margin. I think maybe next year, but not this year. I still don't think he would have been close to playoffs this year. Next year, yes.
Okay, here's something I need to ask you guys, because I'm going to talk about the veteran leadership on the team. And what I mean by veteran leadership, not so much David Savard, because he is a veteran. He we know his time is slowly dying down. Like at he'll probably finish his contract with the Canadians, and then after that, I don't know if he'll get another contract after that. So he knows there's only like maybe 2-3 years left of potentially whatever good hockey he could deliver. Okay. What I mean by the veteran leaderships on this team, I really mean guys like Josh Anderson and Mike Matheson.
Yeah.
So I think the debate is still going on whether Kent Hughes should have traded Josh Anderson at the deadline. He finally scored 20 goals with the Canadiens. Ever since being traded to the Canadiens, he's finally got the 20-goal mark. He's got 21 right now with the empty netter against Pittsburgh. I think Josh Anderson has been the most notable forward consistently since a little bit before trade deadline came. And at the game at Colorado, like when I was watching the game, he was the only Habs forward that was noticeable. And Marty said that too. Like, he's noticeable on a consistent level. Are the Canadiens better off keeping him in the long run, despite the contract and despite how much he's getting paid?
I would only say yes if we were in a situation to compete. I mean, where will he be in 4 or 5 years when we're starting? I think when we're starting to compete, that's a question. That's why I said at this point you can get assets and get the contract to get rid of, because he's playing well. I think he's been better than Suzuki since that point. He's been the best Hab forward. So the veteran presence is there, and it shows he wants to play with us. Just the only point I think he's at a different point of his career. I don't know what his intentions are, but he can be on a team to compete while we're not competing. So that's the only reason why I would have still gotten rid of him, just because, not because of the player, just because of the situation Montreal is in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's for me. But he's been a hell of a hockey player last few weeks, really, since the deadline just before. He's been great.
Yep.
Yeah, I think if you noticed, he actually has, as long as Gallagher's out, unless it's something that I didn't notice, it seems as though it's him and not David Savard and not Mike Matheson. He's the guy who's wearing the A.
Yep.
He's had that slapped on his jersey, and it doesn't seem like it's coming off until Gallagher comes back. So you talk about leadership. I think Marty has clearly noted it and has mentioned his leadership being invaluable. I didn't want to trade him at the deadline. I thought that we were probably going to get the most from him this year. He's a guy that I worry about in terms of injuries. He's definitely, so far, so good. He stayed healthy. And what's reassuring is that even if we didn't trade him this year, I still think the guy is a fantastic skater. He's not a guy like, we love ripping on the guy Lucic, but one of the reasons why Lucic, you know, lost any relativity in this league and his so-called dominance went from a tougher league to a faster, more skilled league. And although Josh Anderson doesn't have the skill, he's definitely got the speed. I don't see him losing his speed as long as he takes care of his shoulders. I'm hoping that, you know, he might not be around for that run, that eventual run. But, let them stick around for this gradual transition. Let them be there for when the younger kids come in. He's also a reassuring presence on the ice for some of the younger or smaller guys. Yeah. I have no problem with him being here. Actually, I'm very welcoming, and I'm very thankful in hindsight that we kept him, simply put.
It's a good comparison, Chris, because I think Lucic is like the slowest, in, probably the slowest in the league. I can go make a he can start from the blue line from behind the net. I can go make a coffee, come back, he still won't be at the other end.
Well, it's just like you think about him being a dominant player. At one point in time, he was a scary player. They're like, yeah, players had to be aware that they were going up against Milan Lucic. We're not talking about his fighting skill. Not talking. He contributed. He was putting up points. He was just a player. Again, you're on the ice. You had to be aware that he was there. The contributions that he made in like the comeback against freaking Toronto to get the Bruins, you know, deep into the playoffs when they had that amazing comeback against them in the third period. You know, he just fell off the map. He left Boston and he was no longer, he got thrown between Edmonton and Calgary and there was no shits given. Yeah, it was a problematic contract.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Josh, I just don't see, again, Josh Anderson, the only little star that I'm going to put next to his name, he has to be careful about injuries. But as long as he doesn't injure his shoulders, fuck, man, the guy is going to be relevant in this league for a long time going forward because he is a one of a kind and he can move. He can move very, very well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, to speak of a guy who moves very well, Mike Matheson, holy shit. Yeah. This guy skates. He's like an angel on skates. It's so beautiful the way he moves. I'm serious. So like, I thought Jeff Petrie was like a graceful skater when Jeff Petrie first came to Montreal. No, Mike Matheson beats him by a mile, man. Wow. And not only that, like he's really playing a good two-way game. Take away maybe the lack of quarterbacking skills on the power play, but other than that, like fuck.
No, he is. You can see why Hughes wanted him, right? And I said he was in the summer. I said he was an excellent skater. It's just he put up relatively good performances before being traded by Pittsburgh. So I was kind of happy with the deal. You know, obviously we wanted Jeff Petrie. We wouldn't want as much cap back, but we know in this league that wasn't going to happen. So we actually got a good return out of it. And I'm glad you brought up Sam. I think he, for the defense, at least he stepped in as a leadership more than Edmondson and Savard has, in my opinion.
Exactly. Yeah.
Not just being the presence, but also, you know, putting that on the ice, showing it. Not saying Savard or Edmondson have played bad. They've done all right, but Matheson has just stepped up even on the ice and he's been tremendous to watch. And, again, I just really wish for guys like that we were just, you know, we were more of a competitive team, really, for them to. You know, they're doing everything they can. It just, anyways, I hope it happens for them. But Matheson has really stepped up, and I'm happy to see the way he's playing.
I really think Pittsburgh might truly miss him this year in the playoffs. I agree. They make the playoffs.
I think they'll rep Petrie. I like Petrie, but he had a turnover in one-on-one Charles goal tonight. He's still the same Petrie to me. I don't know. Just something about him. His last couple of years in Montreal, he's transitioned and maybe the habits went to Pittsburgh. Just some lazy playing and some turnovers that I just never understand from the guy. And I don't know. I think they will miss after.
Petrie says going to Pittsburgh every single time that Montreal played them. And we're talking about the Canadiens winning the season series. I think Jeff Petrie has been one of the main contributors to the fact that the Canadiens have won because he's played a bad game pretty much every single time that they've played against one another. But going back to Mike Matheson, you know, the whole subject was leadership, aside from the known captains and leadership group. Mike Matheson, we said it last episode, I said it last episode, he had an underwhelming start, really turned it around, especially after the second period of time that he missed. When he came back, he really, really stepped it up. But I think, again, it's just another excellent character guy on the team. But I think the thing that I'm looking, like, I see ahead in Matheson's future with the team, this is also going to be a guy who's not going to say anything about younger players taking more minutes. I think he's just such a good teammate all around. He not only, like I said, is he a reassuring presence. He's a guy that's dependable and has been more and more dependable towards the end of the season. I also just see him as a good human being who's not going to be jealous, not going to cause any problems, and he's going to be slotted wherever in the lineup, and you're not going to hear...
You'll just be happy he's there to play hockey.
Exactly. And I think that's the factor about him. Like, that would... Selflessness or the lack of selfishness is probably one of his strongest leadership qualities, in my personal opinion. And again, hats off to him. He's done a great job coming here in Montreal and stepping into some big shoes that needed filling, and injuries.
He's very humble. If you notice, a lot of the times, like, he always refers back to when he was a kid watching the pros and how that made him feel. So, like, he always has that thought of, like, you know, treating the fans the way as if he was in their shoes, because he was at one point. So, like, I love his humbleness big time. It's great to see, for sure.
He seems like the kind of guy that if you catch him, if a big group of people catches him at the wrong time, like, this guy's gonna miss his plane because he has to stay and sign autographs for every single person.
Yeah, type thing. But he'll be happy. But he'll be happy to do it.
Yeah, and he's not above, like, he's,
no, exactly,
you know. Yeah, well, anyways, we can go on, but I think we painted a half decent picture as to his character.
But I think these two guys are going to be key for this rebuild, retool, this new structure and culture. I think Kent Hughes really wanted him for that reason, to build, for him to be part of this great building culture in the room. So
he loves the guy. So
yeah, he said it. He's like, if I had a daughter, I would let him marry him. Yeah,
that's strong words.
I think that's a compliment. I think that any man would feel great to have that as a compliment, for sure. I want to get into some of our Habs prospects here, and I'm going to specifically target our NCAA prospects. There is a few, but there's two of them particularly that we cannot ignore. The more and more Lane Hutson plays, the more dominant he becomes. You know, it's the NCAA. It's their playoffs right now. It's their conference. There's quite a few. It's so weird how the NCAA playoffs runs, because there's like five, six different conferences, more or less, and each have their own little tournaments. And winner of those, I think there's six, winner of those plus 10 teams that the NCAA decides who could participate in the actual championship tournament. That's how it goes down. So right now we got prospects like Sean Farrell with Harvard and Leighton Hudson with Boston University going into their finals. Adam Fantilli beat Jakub Dobys, like, the final score of like 7-4. And I think Fantilli put up two goals and two assists. So kind of sucks. I was hoping to see a future prospect goalie kind of
stand out,
dominate. But he did get nominated for best goalie in his conference, though. So that's always great to hear. But I'm going to throw out a statistic that I saw about Lane Hutson. So from Habs Chronicle on Twitter, Lane Hutson scored more goals than Makar and Fox did as a freshman combined. He doubled Makar's point totals. He had a higher either power play goal than Makar's best NCAA season. He outproduced Zach Werenski, Quinn Hughes, and Luke Hughes' two NCAA seasons. The only thing is he narrowly didn't beat was Fox's third year in points.
So Lane Hutson, the next Kale McCarr?
If he's not the Kale McCarr, I'd say he's the next Adam Fox. And I love either Adam one. Fox. Yeah, either Ooh. One, but like, this kid he's unreal, guys.
Something key, didn't he grow 2 inches?
He did. He's from 5'8 to 5'10.
I mean, that's kind of big when you're supposed to be an undersized, right, defenseman, and he could still grow. But no, it's beyond those details. He's had a tremendous year. Everything on Twitter, I see more people getting excited about he scores than when the Habs are actually playing. Like, everything's going around. It's going viral on Twitter. It's crazy how many goals or just points this guy's producing in college, where it's known as a harder league to score. So hats off to him, really. And it looks like he's a bright future ahead of him. And I'm glad Hughes drafted him.
Oh, dude, absolutely. I'm glad I witnessed it.
That's true.
The second day of the draft. I couldn't witness Slafkovský or Philip Massar, but I could have witnessed at least Owen Beck and Lane Hutson and all the rest.
Well, the only reason he went that low is because of his size. So that's why absolutely. I mentioned about the 2 inches. So that's going to make a big difference, really, if he can bulk up, obviously, to what they want him at an NHL level. But that's why he went lower. But again, size is that, we know that in Caulfield, right?
Yeah. Well, we're going to know that in Sean Farrell, too, at 5'9".
That's true.
Well, the size, too, was a question of an illness. The illness he got over shortly thereafter the draft. I don't know if you guys knew that, but he had a bone illness that he was able to get over. And that's
I didn't know it was like an illness, though. Like,
I don't know if it was like an immune deficiency or something like that. Okay. Whatever it was. Again, it was related to the bones. He got over it. He grew.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to keep it short and sweet. Barring the Habs tanking for years to come and a golden prospect on defense coming in, I think this guy is just going to be the number one Habs defensive, not defensive in terms of play, but he's going to be the number one offensive defenseman for the Canadiens for years to come.
Well,
I don't want to jinx him. I don't want to promise anything. But I seriously think that, you know, again, it's not a question of the promise, but what the numbers that you're discussing, this is not any player that's putting them up. You watch the player, his agility is absolutely incredible. So simply put, I think we're looking at the best offensive Habs defenseman for years and years to come, the second that he comes in. And size is not going to be an issue.
Ahead of like guys like Mayu and maybe Barron?
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt. I think this guy is we are waiting on him to be the number one Habs quarterback on the power play. That's one. But just offensively, I don't think, again, you look at Gouli, Mayu, Jack Eye is really more of a defensive player. Barron. But even and Barron, even if you're looking at those four, I think you're looking at a good balance. I'm talking about a sheer guy. You know, remember the days of PK Subban grabbing the puck and skating up the ice, and you would hear the gradual roar of the bell center just getting louder and louder as
excited.
That's the next guy on defense who's going to be able to do that, if not better. And I think it's truly going to be a step above PK Subban in his prime.
I like that. That's bold. Okay,
that is bold.
I like that. I like that.
If he fails, we clip this part and we should.
Yeah. I'd appreciate that.
Yeah. I'm expecting Sean Farrell to sign at the end of his season. Kid is such a fucking good player. I've praised him so many times. And it's crazy to think how he's got 1 point more than Logan Cooley. Sean Farrell is a fourth round pick. Logan Cooley's third overall, and he finished second in point average behind Adam Fantilli. And he finished more than Logan Cooley. That's impressive. Crazy.
I'll wait to see. We'll judge Cooley like when he gets another year, right? Because Farrell was more advanced.
Dude, I think he might be the best player to get drafted. Logan, I think he's going to be the more, more than Slafkovský, more than Shane Wright.
Wish you didn't say that, because that would make me very, very angry, especially that we had number one. So, I'll let it slide for now. What will make up for it, as long as Lane Hutson turns out what he's supposed to be. And hopefully signs, I'm hoping, in 2 years. But if he's good, great. We missed out, whatever. I'm used to it. But getting someone like Farrell, I mean, he's had a wonderful year, fourth round pick.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see him with Montreal. I'm not saying the Canadiens, just the organization.
And one more prospect we're going to talk about. Well, not talk about, just wonder if he's going to sign, is Jaden Struble.
He said yes, right? Or close well, to?
So look, now their season is done. And I have over here in front of me that the Canucks signed their Northeastern University prospect, Aiden McDonough. So that means, or that kind of tells us that Northeastern might not get picked as the other 10 teams to participate in the NCAA Hockey Championship Tournament. So the Jaden Struble watch is on now. So I don't know much about him. I just know like he's a rugged defenseman. He plays rough. And but if
Sam, with all our prospects come in, you think he can crack our lineup? I'm not talking about the older ones, right? I'm talking about Gouley, Harris, Jacki.
The depth on left defense is going to be tough. And I could see him in Laval. Why not? Just go
is he not a right-handed shot, though?
He's left-handed. He's left-handed.
Yeah.
He's played – and he played on with Jordan Harris. Jordan Harris played on the right while he played on the left.
Yeah, that's right. So, I remember because Jordan Harris played off-wing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's going to be tough, right? Harris. Yeah. You're talking about Harris, Barron, Jacki, who's been a surprise.
Yeah.
Gouley, Mayu waiting.
Lane Hudson.
Hudson waiting. It might be hard for Struble.
Yeah.
Mark my words. Mark my words. You remember Nashville back in the day when they had Weber, Suter, Josi. They had, I don't think they had him at the same time as Subban. They had Ryan Ellis. They had Ekholm. They had all these guys in the pipe. Whether they were in the pipeline or they were with the team, I think we're looking at a similar situation. When Nashville was dominant and they were going towards the cup and they were making that push, I think a lot of what enabled them to make that push and make the necessary trades is they had such a rich bank of defensive prospects that they were able to trade away. And I think Montreal, God hope, Montreal is going to be in the exact same position where we're going to have an abundance. We're going to have too many. I don't think they'll be able to crack the lineup because of the guys who are already established, but they will be good enough to crack other teams' lineups. And at that point in time, you're going to see some really favorable trades coming to Montreal. We're going to have our stacked defense. We're going to have everybody in place, and we're going to be able to go get some damn good players because we have such a great bank. Again, it's just that comparison between Nashville. I think it's
Man, that'd be great. It would be great. Or if they could have that depth defenseman like Colorado has right now. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The future is the future is I still believe the future is bright, but I just want to play one final game with you guys and then we're going to wrap this up, but like in honor of the Academy Awards, like I just want to do a quick game like the winner of I don't even have a fucking name for this session. We'll call it the winner of. So if you were to pick like the best goal right now throughout the season, something like that, let's go with that. Who would you pick? I don't have nominees because I didn't have time to think about it, but I got one.
It's a goal, but it's a shootout goal. I mean, I was really impressed when he just blew everyone by doing the Datsuk Deke for Nick Suzuki in the shootout. Yeah. So I'm gonna go with Suzuki.
Okay,
the shootout goal for Datsuk.
Okay.
No, it was very easy because it was on a penalty shot, but it wasn't a shootout, so it counted. It was Suzuki against Arizona. It was the first time he pulled the puck back. It was the same game that Slafkovský scored his first goal. He dished. Like, what? The announcers on TSN were screaming like, JK, or whatever. Anyways.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to go with, for me, my favorite goal of the year so far is when Cole Caulfield scored like a second left against Philly.
Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite goal. I don't know who the Academy Award for best goal goes to. Okay, here, we'll make it simpler. Okay, the best shootout goal, and the topic is Nick Suzuki, but is it the one against Philly, Carter Hart, the one against Carolina? Is it the one against Arizona? Is it the one against what else did he do?
Arizona or Philly?
I'm going with Arizona. I think
Arizona or Philly.
Yeah,
for me.
Okay,
Sam, I have one for assist, by the way, and it actually happened recently. I think Drouin's assist, I forget who it was, we talked about it. He gave that no-look pass.
Oh, to Hoffman.
Hoffman, yes. I'm going to go with that. Honestly, I really
best think pass? That's best assist?
I think yeah. so. Okay. Like, it was so deceptive. Not even the goal.
Not even Rem Pitlick gets a nomination. We could give Rem Pitlick a nomination.
For which one?
Well, for tonight's goal, the assist on Hoffman's goal.
I still think, I don't know, it was so deceptive. Drouin
sold it perfectly.
Yeah.
Okay, best fight. And there's only one guy, we know that. So is it?
Well, we know the guy is Jacki.
You know, best Arbor Jacki fight.
Zach Cashin.
Yeah.
Versus yeah, he beat the shit. That was literally, at the end of that fight, I was in shock. I was like, okay, that actually just happened. Like, holy shit, he beat the living shit out of him.
If you guys remember preseason game
against Mascot, Ottawa, that one too. Like, it's
Pat Maroon when he fought Pat Maroon back in December.
That was a pretty decent fight. He held his own. Yeah, it's a toss up between Zach Cashin and Mascot in the preseason against Ottawa. Yeah. Just that one punch knockout, man. Like, I just fell. That's all. I'll throw best save, and for me, it's just real quick because it's the most recent one. The two pats stacked by Jake Allen.
I was gonna mention that. Even you could take Montembeau's glove save tonight. He's done that about.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So, but yeah, it's definitely one of the two. But yeah, I would say the stack pad was the most aesthetically pleasing to watch.
What about best hit? For me, I have Jacki's hit against Columbus. I don't know if it's Texier or Foodie, where he hit him on the boards and sent him.
Would there be another candidate besides Jacki for best hit?
I'm not sure. I think Caden Gooley delivered a good one at the beginning of the season. I don't remember exactly, but no. That's just.
I think Kovacevic the other game. It's not a good hit.
Vegas. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, it's just a way to end the episode. Just in honor of the Academy Awards. But yeah, I'm gonna check out that movie, Joe, and be sure to check out.
It's terrible. It's fucking terrible. I didn't say anything at the beginning.
What have you been fucking waiting for?
I hated it. I'm sorry to say, I fucking hated it. It was so messed up. Don't get me wrong. The message that was given in the end, like. If you can fucking wrap your mind around the weirdness of the movie and you understand the message, it is a beautiful message. But what they ended up showing was just to me like that's not my cup of tea. I'm more grounded in reality, and that was like a fucking drug trip on a drug trip. So
Chris, let me ask you from what I know that people have watched it. The people that have understood what the message was in the movie before the end say the movie was like worth watching. It was out there, it was open. They give it more positive. But, you know, it's not my cup of tea either. But people who only understood it at the end, such as yourself, gave it more of a negative comment. Did you only understand what was going on at the end of the movie?
I truly grasped it towards the end of the movie because most of the time I couldn't get past the fucking dangling sausage fingers and the stupid fucking sausage. What the fuck was going on?
Yeah, I know.
If you ever want to watch it together and we can take something
we'll smoke that shit up real quick. I want to watch The Whale just to see Brendan Fraser's performance.
I heard it was decent.
Some were like, nah. It's just mostly to see his performance because I'm so happy he won. Like, I think Brendan Fraser, I think George of the Jungle, and he's fucking ripped with a six pack, and he was a badass in The Mummy. So I'm just happy for the guy. But yeah, I'm curious. I think I'm gonna watch The Whale.
I'm more interested. I don't know what the award is called when they do for best shows rather than best movies. Because I think best shows, if you guys know the name of it.
Yeah, the Emmys.
The Emmys, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Emmys. I'm more interested in stuff like the Emmys because I think the Emmys choose more, like what Chris would say, grounded shows that is not like open concept, like out there. If you notice movies that win, most of the average people you talk to, like, yeah, they've never seen it, or it's like, it's something that they didn't expect to win. But I find shows, I find it's a different way of thinking, where people that win it, I don't find it's like the same as movies.
Different crowd, maybe.
Yeah, maybe it's a different crowd, but more people that, like, let's say best show wins an Emmys, you'll find more people saying, yeah, I watched that show, it was great, or whatever, as opposed to a movie like Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Parasite, Whale. I find there's less people that watch those movies, like more like movie critics watch them, as opposed to show. It's more the average.
Maybe it's because we're just so used to, like, with Netflix and these series now.
There are movies, and then there are films, and these that's what you're saying. Look, personally
speaking, don't have that. That's why it's a good way to put it.
Personally speaking, like, Sammy and I are more on the comic book geek side, or whatever.
Hell yeah!
But to be honest with you, like, I generally don't give a shit what's going on in Hollywood.
That's a whole other thing, but
Anyways.
But I like movies. Like,
absolutely. I miss the good old movies. There's nothing. When was the last time, other than Top Gun? I swear to God, to me, Top Gun, Maverick was fantastic. Other than that, I'm basically being told I'm a bad human being in pretty much every movie. being me, if you know what I mean.
I bet the movies you watch, Sam, every year, the top five that get nominated, you watch 80%, right? Let's just say, of the movies that get nominated for the Academy.
No, not lately. No, I saw
Top Gun. That's what it is for most people. No one I know ever watched these movies, ever.
Yeah.
We
need a good Montreal Canadiens movie. We need another movie of, like, The Rocket, but, like, maybe of the 70s. We need a good... You know, Hollywood can make a good movie of the 70s. You know, fucking peace, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, playing hockey in French Canada.
Well, look, they could do a modern take on it. It's the Alex Galchenyuk story.
That poor bastard, man. He's just anyway. Wherever he is, I hope he's. I don't even know where he is. He's not with Colorado anymore. I think he's in their minors now. No,
just their farm please, team. Kid.
This
poor guy developed the worst off-ice tendencies.
Those are the rumors, who knows if they're true.
When it comes to hockey cities, I swear to God, Montreal is like the equivalent of Gotham City. Like, we are the scum society. We take anything that's good and we just suck all the fucking life out of these players and turn them corrupt villains.
Hey, listen, Joel Edmondson said he loves playing here. So if he could say that, true. I think most other players. Yeah,
it's all the players that are married at home at night and they stay out of the limelight.
You have to learn how to control it, Chris. I mean, you have to have the character just to control yourself, really.
Well, Jesus Christ. Anyways, I'm not going to get into it, but
we're digressing.
We'll digress. That's for an off show conversation.
Discussion.
All right, boys. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for doing this. This was awesome. To the listeners out there, thanks again for watching us on YouTube. Keep following us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. If you listen to us on your podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you can do that as well. Please like and subscribe on YouTube, like and share and rate on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We greatly appreciate the support. Gentlemen, enjoy your night. We see the Canadians play. When's their next game?
Thursday
against Florida Panthers. My God. Enjoy that one, ladies and gentlemen. All right, boys. Have a good night. Until next time.
Bye now.
Bye now.
Good night.